You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
How are you doing?
This is the movie show.
On Active TV.
I am Sesh.
My name is Ryan.
And we decided that since it's December, we would start off with a Christmas movie.
Preparing for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely.
But we decided that we would pick a director and look at one of his Christmas movies.
I hope.
And since we've just come off of a Tim Burton marathon.
Might as well do a Christmas film from Tim Burton.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So ladies and gentlemen, we present to you The Nightmare Before Christmas.
A film by Tim Burton.
Made in 1993. Produced. You know, it wasn't directed by him.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a Tim Burton film, but it's not actually directed by him. But with the stop motion animation.
He reminds me of my brother in a way.
No, Ryan, Tim Burton, right?
Mm.
This man and Timothy Chalamet, they speak the same.
Oh, is it?
Like, literally, in fact, we'll show you. Here's Tim Burton speaking. And here's Timothy Chalamet speaking. Their mannerisms are literally the same. Like, I'm actually shocked. I'm shocked that they have not done a movie together. Like, I don't understand why they haven't. I honestly don't.
Well, Yeah.
The closest Timothy Chalamet has gotten to anything Tim Burton-y is there was a Super Bowl ad. You know they do the ads every year?
Yeah.
And they redid, they were doing it for a car that I think it's a self-driving car, and they got Winona Ryder to come back as her character from Edward Scissorhand, but she has a son, Edgar Scissorhand, and Timothy Chalamet played the son. And Tim Burton, he said, like, Timothy did a good job and all of that. But, like, Timothy Chalamet loves Tim Burton. He's one of his, childhood favorite directors.
Oh, is it?
So I'm just like, why? Why hasn't that happened, you know?
They should get one in there.
They really, Tim Burton, you really need to, cast Timothy Chalamet.
And for you know, maybe that is in production at the moment.
Hopefully,
we just don't know about it yet.
Don't know. That's fine. That is fine. We shall
then continue.
Yeah, continue.
Let us not interrupt you.
Maybe he'll appear in Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
When is Wednesday coming out? Actually, Don't say on Wednesday. Season 2 is in 2025.
Next week Wednesday.
One day. That would be actually very cool if they brought it out on a Wednesday.
Makes so much sense.
It does make so much sense.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Nightmare Before Christmas. So this is a
1993.
Oh, was it 1993? 1993. So 1990 was Edward Scissorhands, right?
Wait, then was it 93? I remembered 90. Yes, I remembered 93.
Yes, it is 93.
I remember 93.
It is 93, yeah. Mm. And then, so it was produced by Tim Burton.
Not that guy.
That's the music composer. Yeah. And he sang a lot of the songs. And in fact, in Corpse Bride, he was the, you know, the dude that welcomed him into the underworld and had that very gruff voice. He was still the one that did that. But he was, what was his name? What was the main character's name? Jack Skellington.
Oh.
Here's his singing voice.
Oh, cool. Oh,
so he actually did the singing voice. And then you have Chris Sarandon was the speaking voice.
Nice.
And then Catherine O'Hara played Sally. So Catherine O'Hara is the mom or the stepmom from Beetlejuice.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she starts the Deo sequence, her. And then she did the voice of Sally. Yeah. As a film, I didn't actually finish the film. Ryan also didn't finish the film. I watched a lot of it because I was like, I need to watch this because we're doing a whole review on it, you know. But, it was it wasn't an easy watch. It was you know when you're like, okay, it's fine. In fact, I started skipping over a lot of the musical sequences because this is a musical. Like, this one's a proper musical. Corpse Bride didn't have that many songs in it. It had songs, but it didn't. This one, you know when you're like, ah, they're singing again. It was kind of that vibe. So I would skip over a lot of the songs, and then I think I had 20 minutes left. So from the storyline, for some odd reason, Jack Skellington is like the most famous person in Halloween world, and he gets this idea that he wants to do Christmas. So he like takes over Christmas, but then it goes bad because like if you have the Halloween holiday characters doing Christmas, obviously like the gifts are going to torment and hurt and harm people. So like people
are
freaking
out.
No, literally, that's like literally kid, a scene.
The kid pulls a head out the...
Yes. And then, he gets shot down by the military. And then I don't know what happened in the end. There were like 20 minutes left. I don't know what happened. But yeah. But what was cool about the film was the design behind it. So I think like the... Do you understand? Like if you go into detail as to how the film came into being, I think that's cool. But the problem is people don't watch movies because, you know, it's an incredible thing to make.
Yeah.
The average person. So like, yeah. But I do think that he wouldn't have been able to do something like Corpse Bride if they hadn't done this.
Yeah.
And I don't think Corpse Bride would have been as good as it was. Because Corpse Bride, the movement was very smooth. And like everything was, it was very, very, very good. But this one, you could see it was made before, because it was a lot more like.
I guess they learned from.
Yeah. Mm. No, definitely. Yeah. Why didn't you finish it? You're just like meh.
Time.
But it's not like you. You know when you don't have time and you're watching a movie.
No, I'd finish it. Yeah.
Yeah. You see.
No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want a Christmas movie to watch, yeah, this is probably not one of them.
I was meant to come back.
Are you going to go back?
Really, with the best, I really was. I probably, I'm not really the type of person to be sitting around and just be like, what should I do now, you know?
Oh, let me go finish the, yeah.
So I hope.
So anyway, onto the behind the scenes. Mm. It took 100 artists 3 years to make this movie.
Was a big production.
It was a big production. Mm. 100 artists.
And I think it just goes with this kind of animation. That's why.
Yeah. So to give you just... To explain why it takes so long. So what they do here is they have the puppets, they have the sets, whatever, and then they'll take a photo of the puppet's hand here. Then they'll put the puppet's hand here, they'll move away, take a photo. Then they'll move the puppet's hand here.
That's too far. No, that's way too far.
Then they'll... Yeah. And then eventually they'll do that. Mm. And then when you play it back, the character's arm does that. But they shot this.
Do they call it like a playbook or something? Come on, guys. How many of you in school, you're sitting there, you're bored, the lecture. Okay, not all of you. But you sit there and you take the corner of your paper and you start from the bottom and you draw a stick figure. And then you put the next page and the stick figure moves slightly until eventually you get through like at least like maybe 20, 30, maybe 50 pages. And then you sit there and you flip through the pages hard and you got a bit of an animation. So that's exactly what they do with claymation. Yeah.
And now it still is generally 24 frames a second, right? In films, most of all. Well, it depends, I suppose.
24,
on the director.
30, yeah.
So this one they did 24 frames a second. What that means is in 1 second of film, there is 24 pictures, frames, still frames, that they capture to make up a second. So in every second, this movie has 24 pictures that they had to take. And every time they took a picture, they had to make some slight adjustments so that it looked like there was movement taking place. That is why it took them 3 years to make this movie. How long was the movie in total? I think it was like an hour, just over an hour.
Just over an hour.
Just over an hour, yeah. But
so
I mean,
24 times 60.
But it definitely was over an hour. I think it was like an hour 15, 14, somewhere there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they had this is madness. They had 19 sound stages. 19 sound
that they
stages.
Filmed.
And they had 230 sets.
There you go.
And what they do is they don't just build the set. So what they'll first do is they'll build... they start off drawings. So when Tim Burton was at Disney...
Imagine the filming schedule.
No, it's crazy. When Tim Burton was earlier at Disney, he actually came up with this concept and he even drew like all of the different characters and then he even had a treatment. Do you know what a treatment is?
Like an overlay.
No.
No?
Script writing treatment.
Oh.
Yeah. So a treatment is a scriptwriter will write like a very short description of what the story is going to be about. That's basically a treatment. And you use the treatment to sell the script as a script writer. So he had this, the treatments, and he had concept art that he handed over to Disney. But then nothing came of it. And then years later, he went back to Disney. Obviously, now he was a renowned director. And he said, I want to make this. So they then used all of those original drawings. But with the sets, they first create scaled down versions of the sets. Because what they have to do is they have to obviously look and feel. That's important. But then the second thing is the animators have to be able to maneuver themselves around the set to set the puppets in different positions, doing different things, changing facial expressions, all of that jazz.
Doing the actual animation.
So they actually have to build the set in such a way that they can at any point take a piece away so the animator can come in, do what they need to do, and then they can put the piece back. But during when they build the smaller models, that's where they figure out, okay, where are we going to break the setup? And then sometimes where they're not able to like do a break there, they'll build in trapdoors so that the animators can still like open the set, do something, and then close it, and then they can. So it's actually insane the amount of work that goes into all of this. So that's like just the set, and then with the actual characters themselves. So the characters, you have the what you're seeing has been basically molded and built and from like head to toe. People have created puppets that look like that. And then inside they have what they call armature. So what the armature is it's basically like a skeleton. It's what we would know as a skeleton. And what they do here is actually what they do now with like 3D animation and stuff like that. It's the same concept. Obviously now you're
that's
just
where it would come from. Yeah.
So they have the armature, which is the skeleton. But then the way they do the armature is they have two sets of, I think it's knobs that they can... joints. So they call them joints. So they either will put a ball joint, which then you can now... So they'll often put the ball joint here by the neck so that the head can rotate. Like in any... I know heads don't rotate in any direction, but so that they can do that like movement. And then other places they'll put hinges so that the body's a little bit more sturdy so that they can like, you know, fit a position and like... Yeah. But then they'll build the puppets around that. And then... It's crazy. They mold them, and then they obviously like do the outward appearance and build like 10 different versions of these things. But this, I thought this was very cool because it's not something we touched on when we did Corpse Bride, because Corpse Bride was also claymation. The facial expression and the way how they do the mouth movement. So I don't know if you actually know how they do it, because I was always like, do they like move the mouth slightly or whatever? They actually have like... I don't know how many it is, but they have a whole lot of different faces of the character in a different mouth position. And then before filming the scene, what they'll do is they've taken pictures of all of these different expressions, and they figure out what expression or what face for that frame do they need to use to create the mouth movement.
So what mood or what they're saying at that point.
And obviously like even the singing would have taken into account. Then they play it back, and then they now know, okay, for this frame, we need face number 44. And then they go to face 44. They take off the current face and they just put on another. They'll either remove the head. So with Jake Skellington, because he doesn't have hair, that's the armature. And then they were able to just remove his entire head because he doesn't have any hair. Yeah. But with Sally's character, they had to actually create like masks, because obviously with her hair, it's a little bit more difficult. So there, they wouldn't remove the whole head. They would then just remove and change her facial expression. Mm. And then even the blinking. So what they do with the blinking is they create like these little, it's basically eyelids, but they're not attached to the character. And there's like three different versions. So there's like, obviously there's the eye fully open, then it's like slightly closed, even more closed, fully closed. And then in the frames, they'll also just put that. Yeah. So each frame, it's very technical. It's like very, very technical. But the detail is actually incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing that sucks about this, and even the animators were talking about it. So for 1 minute of film, it takes them a week. That's the timeline. 1 minute. 1 minute of film, right? Just a whole week for 1 minute of film. But then they'll say they'll get to like day whatever, like six. And because you're taking photos, those photos all have to work together. But now the problem is if one photo goes out, it stuffs up the whole movement because you and you can see it and
you can't go
just
back to
and
that
take
exact
that one frame. You literally have to go you literally have to go all the way back to the beginning. So they could literally be sitting on like day six, and if something happens and goes wrong, so like say for instance you by mistake put the wrong facial expression on, or say for instance you do you understand, or a light by mistake moves, because you'll pick that up because it's the lighting's going to change for that one shot, and then like they literally have to go all the way back and start that entire week again because of what I love film and I respect these people so much, but I'd never want to do this job. Like they even said, you can't go into this thinking I want the movie complete. Like you have to be extremely patient.
You have to go in
and you're like they said they would live for, because at the end of the day they'd always have some form of motion that they'd be able to see. They'd always live for that, like the end of the day because it takes so long. I mean, when we did Corpse Bride, Tim Burton was doing Corpse Bride and he filmed an entire movie, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, at the same time. Because that's how long it takes to do this.
It's a lot. It's dedication.
Oh, it's a lot.
And sure.
Yeah, so
like real dedication.
I respect these. I really do respect these people. But what I think with this film, someone said this, and I actually agreed with them. The look and feel of the film is German expressionist, which has that very like dark grunge feel to it.
Yeah.
And Dr. Seuss. And I was like, they nailed it. This is literally like the look and feel of this film is a combination of Dr. Seuss and German expressionist.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but as a movie, I would not recommend people. If you like claymation, like clay animation, and if you
have the patience,
and
the time and the life for that,
yeah, then I'd be like, cool, go watch it. But for the average person, yeah,
we do these things in Blender now,
yeah,
in 3D. It's probably exactly the same kind of technique and all of that stuff, but digitally,
yeah,
and keyframed,
yeah.
So if we mess up frame number 397. And we're at 7,000, frame 7,000.
We can just go.
Just go back, fix it, just render that short little piece. Then in the editor, you go, and then you just go, oh no, you don't even have to.
You just put over.
Over. And you just shift it, playback.
And then
shift, playback.
All those final
shift,
cut
playback.
Users, you just put V's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it in frame, you know, and then, yeah. So the joys. Yeah.
Fixed.
Fixed.
There and then you continue.
Disney actually wanted to, so you know there's the different holiday. So there's Christmas, there's Easter, there's Halloween, there's Thanksgiving. Guy Fawkes was there.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But they wanted, because obviously now it's a mix of Halloween, so Jake Skellington goes to Christmas Land. They then wanted to now create more films where, like, you know, he goes to Easter and he goes to Thanksgiving. But Tim Burton, I respect Tim Burton. He was like, nope, it's going to ruin the, Tim Burton will not make a sequel just for the sake of making a sequel and making money.
You shouldn't do that.
Which you shouldn't do, exactly. Mm. So that's why I'm saying if he makes a third Beetlejuice, I'd be happy because I trust him to do it.
Oh yes.
But also it would be freaking cool if it was Beetlejuice. Like I really hope there's two things I'm hoping for from Tim Burton. Beetlejuice, and Tim Burton and Timothée Chalamet collaboration.
Coinciding.
Needs to be happen.
Coexisting.
Needs to be done.
In the same credits.
Yeah. It has to happen.
Sounds like something we'd look forward to.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
So, yeah, this was The Nightmare Before Christmas.
If you haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. Although I think a lot of like the songs are well known because I happen to be with my sister. And next month she's playing the Halloween, the intro song. I was like, why is she listening to this?
Yeah.
Song? And then I clicked, she was watching. So someone made this reel on Instagram where they created this hairstyle. I was like, wow, someone actually has that on their head. But they created a skeleton on this person's head as like a Halloween costume. But it was actually like from an artistic perspective, it was like pretty cool. But they had this song, that song, the Halloween, whatever. I don't know what the name of the song is, but they had that song in the beginning as the music that they used.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, it is a...
There's the expression.
Yes, there's the different faces.
And the head that just pops on.
Yep, there we go. And then you see how they... Yep. It's crazy, though. What if you by mistake... Like, the admin that goes into this... like with each frame, you have to know like what face we're using. Yeah, no, it's a lot. But it's cool.
That is cool.
It is cool, right?
I'm sure the person that like did the admin after that was like,
good job, guys.
Walking, are you using number 42? Guys, you have to use number 42.
Well, they don't have to use number 42, but then they'll be redoing the whole of that week's work.
Okay, so then they'll be coming and saying, are we using number 42?
This is why Tim Burton only directed this film. I mean, produced this film and didn't direct it.
Right.
It takes a certain patience.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but this has been The Movie Show.
On Active TV.
Till next week.
Cheers.
Peace.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.